are tired of women.
That's no good.
Clap for that, you stupid bastard.
To front basket.
Hello.
And we're here.
It's been a while.
Oh, I ended up somehow.
It's been a while since I'm sorry. Since I've been gone.
I think my camera got bumped, but I didn't notice before we went live. I'm just going to scoot over.
I think I fucked it up last time. I had it. Or like turned it off. Because I think the... Weird.
Yeah. What's up?
Nothing. Yeah. No, I wish.
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah. I wish we had a good excuse as to why we didn't do it last week. Like, we were planning on it, and then I kept pushing the time back, and I'm like, you know what? I don't want to do it.
Yeah. And we were like, well, Monday, maybe Tuesday. Tuesday rolls around. Nah, not feeling it.
Like, a little burnt out. I mean, it's just because it's like the only thing really in the news is because, like, the news is all sort of pro Biden. So.
I was just looking at Twitter. Donald J. Trump is trending right now for no reason. And well, he lives in your head rent free.
That's
guys.
The thing. Well, because you have to explain the tweets that. So like, whenever you see Donald Trump trending, you know what the top tweets are going to be.
Exactly. So like you open up the thing that's trending and like it shows you the first tweet is a GIF of an American flag. And it's like, we will never make Donald J. Trump president again. And the waving flag GIF. Very cool. The next one, and I don't want him as president either, but like he's again lives in your head rent free. Mm-hmm. I scroll to the next one. It's today is October 9th, 2021, 3 p.m. and President Joe Biden is still Donald J. Trump's president. And it's like just like do you like what
it, yeah
what does this do for you? Like, he hasn't, this dude has not, is really not on the internet at all.
No.
He releases, like, his, like, from the desk of Donald J. Trump thing.
Right.
Like once a month or something when something happens. Mm-hmm. But he is really not doing anything. He's not dictating our politics anymore. Like, he had a huge impact, but he is not the voice anymore. He's right. Really not saying anything. He's not on the internet. They've, like, completely scrubbed him. So, why is he still on your mind?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's the like I've said it on here before, but I really do think that Trump derangement syndrome will be in the DSM. Like,
oh yeah, yeah,
it'll be a mental illness.
They'll probably end up having to like classify it as like some kind of like psychological break that happens when like you feel threatened, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
That like they must already exist.
That must already exist. Yeah.
TDS must have like a list of symptoms that line up with something that already exists.
Oh, maybe that's what it is. Greg says that dumb tell-all book from Melania's staffer has been saturating headlines for a week now. Like, I don't get why people basically any book that came out that was like an insider book that came out during the Trump administration was basically like a Daniel Steele novel. Like,
yeah,
like you might as well be reading like a trashy romance dime store novel.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like
Brett Hawthorne.
Brett Hawthorne, like
Ben Shapiro's main character.
Yeah. Who Ben Shapiro wants to be or have sex with. I couldn't decide which one.
Yeah, it might be both.
But we don't have a really good excuse for burnt out. And then like the only news that like really is being covered a lot is this reconciliation thing and this infrastructure bill.
Yeah.
Which is really important. I know it's really important. I will front load it by saying that I know it's really important. But I just don't care.
It's so hard to bring yourself to care. It's just all so boring.
Yeah, like there's no interesting way to talk about it. And like, I mean, the only interesting thing, I guess, is that the squad's like leveraging their power finally. But
yeah,
like,
finally.
But otherwise, I just don't really give a
shit. Yeah. That's just, it's really not for me. Even when like the shows we watch are talking about it, like you'll flip away. It's like, I don't want to see this. It's not important to me. Oh, I forgot we have coffee.
So like Steven brings up the Facebook whistleblower and like I don't even like it's interesting because like I've seen clips of her. I've not like watched her, you know, full testimony or anything, but I've seen clips of her and she's not saying anything that I don't already know.
Yeah.
And like what's tough is like when these people get up in front of Congress or, you know, in front of the Senate, or I guess it just is all Congress. I made that mistake of the day. It doesn't matter. Anyway, like when they get up and talk to like our leaders,
Congress is both.
They you know, like they'll give this kind of, you know, passionate thing about the psychology of social media and how it's affecting our discourse in America, blah, blah, blah. And then you go to a senator that's going to ask questions or like needs to be convinced by this whistleblower, the person who's in front of the public, and goes, what is the internet? Is this a series of tubes?
There was a hearing where the dude, is this a series of tubes? The dude was like, will you make it a point to remove Finsta? Did you see that one?
No. Dude, it's like...
Dude, we have these absolute boomers in office, but like... They are like detached, like completely have no fucking clue.
And it's not even their
technology is
age. It's like look, I mean, most of the people who are there in our government have been there forever. Like, so they have like, you know, they're like working on encrypted BlackBerries. And so it's like they have no connection really. I mean, like this is one of a million things they don't have connection to real people, but they can't really use these things. They don't tweet for themselves. Like, yeah. They have no connection to this reality. So, like, all the stuff that she was saying, I'm like, well, yeah, duh. And then, like, she's like, yeah, you know, it's harming. And, you know, one of the ones, something that she said that I did like was she goes, you know, even people who don't have a Facebook, which I'm one of those people, the discourse that is mutating people's brains and making them just rot, it affects people who don't even have Facebook. And I'm like, yes, because, like, on both sides of the vaccine argument, for example, it's just like, you either have the insane, let's wear 17 different masks.
Yeah.
Speaking of which.
There are some things in the comments I do want to get back to. We got to talk
You can go ahead.
We'll come back to it. Cause speaking of which. But we will talk about like the, because actually today the 200,000 kids in the Catholic Church that, I mean, we've been new.
I mean, that's the thing though. It's like all these stories. You're like, wait, what? We're like, we're recognizing this now. It's like, we knew that like literally the Catholic Church is just a giant cabal of pedophiles. And I think I was talking to our neighbor the other day about it, like how I was saying the Catholic Church is entirely pedophiles. And she's
she said facts.
Well, she said facts. And then she says that like, well, she's like, but I wouldn't say they all are. And I'm like, Meredith, if you were in a room of 15 people and 12 of them were pedophiles, you would just say that everyone here is a pedophile.
Yes. And the other three, I followed up after, I was like, the other three in the room are complicit.
Uh-huh.
So they might as well just be pedophiles.
But yeah, speaking of which, Tom will like this because he's of this generation. I went and saw Van Morrison.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
At the Hollywood Bowl. It was cool. My friend Jack, he got really good tickets. I actually hate the Hollywood Bowl. I think it's a terrible venue.
Mm-hmm.
Because like if you had like because the way sound dissipates so much because it's like outdoor, but it doesn't outside. Like it's not enclosed like a venue like Red Rocks in Colorado. But what was cool is the seats he got were from some rich dude. And so we were like, you know, really like right in the center and pretty close.
Yeah.
And so it was cool to see the show, but my point of bringing that up was the mask weirdness. Like, so first of all, I had to bring my vaccine card, which again, if I've told Sean, if I go do things private, I just refuse doing these kinds of things. I just will not do it. But since I was going with somebody else, I didn't want to like inconvenience them or whatever. But
yeah.
The second we got into the venue after showing them the fucking vaccine card, I just took the mask off.
And yeah.
Then all the staff was like shoving different N95s into my hands of this, you need to wear. And I'm like, it's not doing anything. Like there are too many
outside,
fucking people here.
Like, and it's, it won't change anything.
No.
There are hundreds of people.
Can
here.
We stop it with the security theater? And then, but the crazy part was, so before we went to the concert, I was up on his roof deck at his apartment in Hollywood. And, there were these two women having a conversation at a table. So we're outside, the sun's out. They had an N95 and then a surgical mask over the N95.
Crazy.
And they were just talking to each other at a table, and Jack looks at it, and I'm just like, this is mental illness. Like, this is absolute unbridled mental illness.
Yeah.
And
two masks outside talking to your friend.
It was absolutely fucking insane. And so,
like, I have a feeling like it's sort of like a stressful competition where like I'm not gonna take off my mask because. Mm-hmm. I don't want you to take off your mask, or like, I'm not gonna take off my mask if you're not gonna do it. I'm gonna keep it on.
Well, what's crazy is you think
so,
like,
you keep it on.
So like the thing is like they were clearly two close friends. Like they weren't having like a business meeting or anything. So before they went out on the deck, they were in their apartment
with no masks.
It's just or wearing them. But like that's actually a better theory. Is that like it? So like it's one of two things. Either they're totally fucking out of their goddamn mind, or it was like a performance
for
people that literally don't give a shit about anything.
I would say it's probably a performance. I think like a lot of this these days is performance theater.
Can you open that door for him?
Yeah, of course.
Sorry.
But to me, it does feel like people are performing. Oh, no, I might be stuck. Oh, God.
Ugh.
Oh, God.
His headphone cable stuck under the wheel. Okay. That's fine.
All right.
Yeah, so I don't know.
But yeah, absolute theater.
Yeah.
That people, I think that's what it is.
I mean, and it was interesting because, like, you know, at a Van Morrison concert, everyone's old, obviously.
Yes, old people.
Yeah, like, you know, most of these boomers were, like, not wearing it, you know, like.
Right.
And I think that the staff really. Because like the staff were like more my peers in terms of age, and so they felt comfortable telling me to put one on. But like, but it was interesting because like when we were out and about, like in the kind of normal section, but when we went to our seats, it was like this exclusive tunnel we had to go through that, like,
yeah,
for rich people essentially.
Yeah,
and they were not saying shit once we were in that area.
Good, fuck them.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's kind of that was like a really interesting part of like how this, like, this sort of demand is such a classist divide of like,
yeah, and it always has been. It's like COVID, why Gavin Newsom COVID was at French Laundry.
Yeah, yeah, it's exactly.
You know, it's like why Nancy Pelosi got her hair done without a mask. It's why Lori Lightfoot did the same thing. We have ghouls who are rich and in charge who don't have to abide by the rules.
Yeah. Anyway, we can go back to the comments.
Yeah, so the Catholic Church thing. Greg brings up the Vatican made headlines last week about basically money laundering.
They
are a church. They're a mega. They are basically. I'm not saying that to Greg, by
the
way.
Like, I mean, I do like his comment here. He says, "While I say the Catholic stuff is old hat and no surprise, as a relatively recent ex-Catholic, it does tickle me a bit to see it reported."
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah!
I mean,
yeah.
But like, I mean, that movie, like, the Boston Globe. What was that movie? Spotlight. I mean, like, mm-hmm. That's like what broke the story in the first place, where mm-hmm. It was like, you know, what's crazy about it is that it's on a level that is so unprecedented, like. And really, nobody faced any consequences for doing this.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, what was interesting was, and Greg will remember this pretty vividly, was like, you know, so I forgot the Pope before Benedict, but that guy
Francis?
Died. Francis is now. So the guy before Benedict died, and then they get Benedict in, who's like this kind of like Nosferatu type German dude. And then he starts to like look in. I really think what happened was he looked at how much like just rampant pedophilia was happening like in his organization. He's like, I'm out. And he literally quit the job, which I don't think's ever happened, like, at least not in recent history.
Yeah.
And then Francis comes along, where like all liberals are like, oh, we love Francis, but it's like Francis is a PR guy. Like,
yeah,
he is trying to repair the brand of Catholicism, like, yeah, which really is this, like, the Vatican is like its own, like, basically Indian reservation that sits in the middle of Italy, but is way wealthier, like because people are so manipulated by religion and their fear of death that they will just shower these idiots in money. And so it's like, dude, like, you know, we talk about Epstein here and these elite pedophiles and how Hillary Clinton drinks baby blood and all this shit. But it's like, really, like, you know, and I'm saying it to be funny, but like the Catholic Church, like, they're really doing this stuff.
Yeah.
Like, for real. So, I don't know.
Yeah. So it came out that like in the last 70 years, upwards of 200,000 children were molested, 80% young boys, 20% young girls.
What is that about, too?
Just boys.
Yes.
Yeah. Majority boys. I don't.
Is it because they wouldn't be believed? Like you would believe a little girl more than you believe like a little boy?
I don't know. I think it's a multitude of things. Like, there's more opportunity for little altar boys to be involved in the church than girls.
That's,
you know,
actually probably it. I didn't even think about that.
And so, like, there are just generally more boys, and it might be a believability thing. People are gonna say, like, oh, well, the fucking father's not gay. There's no way he could be gay, you know?
Right.
But like that's the most important thing to them, as opposed to them raping a child, you know.
Right.
That's like the Kevin Spacey thing when like he
came out of the
closet. When he like molested like a 17-year-old, he goes, "Yes, I am gay."
And you're like, "We know already."
It's like, that's not what we're angry about.
No. Yeah, no, and it really like, there is like, and again, it's not even just money. It's like this level of like, consequential detachment that makes these people so funny. I mean, I titled this podcast like Nothing Is Real just because it's like, it really, I mean, that's the thing is like this kind of story juxtaposed like, and again, it's like juxtaposed with this infrastructure bill. And you're just like, when you're a normal person, like we all are, it's just like, I have no, like, what? Like, Francis is going to take down the Catholic Church. Greg says that he's the AOC of the Catholic. Like, totally. I mean, totally he is. Like,
I love
that. He, you know, he's like in there to like talk about how gay people should get married and blah, blah, blah. And like, I hope Italy does that because I'm a citizen. So like, and they recognize our marriage it. And we can move to Europe when this experiment falls apart here shortly.
Yeah, this 400 year experiment.
Yeah.
Actually, like 250 years.
Yeah, really, at that point. But yeah. Yeah, Greg says girls aren't permitted in ministry until more recently, and nobody questions a young boy hanging out with the priest. Yeah, it's a great
role model.
With a little girl, it might raise an eyebrow.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's funny. Like, I mean, it's all these different things that, you know, what are we going to do? Like, I mean, it's kind of like it's all this stuff is connected. It's like you look at the people who are made Donald J. Trump trending, and it's like, what, your fucking tweet with your American flag gif is gonna do something to him?
Yeah,
like, which he'll never see this. Like, you are just spinning your wheels over nothing. And so like, that's what this all feels like, is it's just kind of like, yeah, dude, the world's a horrible, horrible fucking place. And it's like, but like at the same time, just take care of what's in front of your face, you know what I mean? So then you can make your own private world better, you know, because we're not gonna fix this shit. Like clearly, I mean, the Boston Globe story was fucking 20 years ago. And like, then today they're like, oh yeah, no, 200,000 more. And like, again, nobody was held accountable. Like, literally all these priests that did this, well, some of them, not even all of them, were just shuffled to different parishes.
Yeah, the archdiocese just like picks them up and puts them in a new place
where they can molest more children.
Yeah, like, new state, new country.
If they're molesting brown children, we don't care as much. Exactly. So we'll put them down there. And
we've got to rid you of... We have to dissipate your temptations. So we're going to put you somewhere else that has little boys.
What does Greg say?
Francis said, okay, we got to be nice to the gays. Do not marry them, though.
Yeah.
Don't even bless a fag union.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not...
Because it's not like... it's interesting because like literally every developed European country is fine with gay marriage. Like even fucking Turkey is... But it's like, you know, so speaking of like a Muslim country that's like okay with it, like,
you know, in the military, I saw this in a Hasanabi clip, so I don't know how real this is. He might just be lying. He's not a very reliable narrator.
Probably. I mean, if it's probably not true.
I'm just kidding. I know. Another thing about Hasanabi, and I'll get back to it. He said that like in Turkey, you can exempt yourself from the military by being gay, but you have to prove that you're gay.
Yeah.
showing a picture of you getting fucked by a guy.
That's not true. but there is an element of because like the proving it is like very vague, but there's no like actual, I don't know, maybe like it was like a somebody who went through that experience that like said that's what happened. I don't know, but like that's not like an official.
But you got to prove it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you can't just say you're gay, because what if you're just fucking girls and the military finds out?
Right. Yeah. It's just so, yeah. So,
But Hasanabi and a ton of other Twitch streamers, this is news actually, a ton of other Twitch streamers, every Twitch streamer had their earnings leaked, which not really like a big deal.
No.
Because most people post on their stream how well they are doing.
Sure.
And like, they will have their literal live sub count on the screen while they're streaming. It says like 30,000 subscribers, which means $5 per subscription, $150,000. They get half of that, $75,000.
Not to mention, you know? I mean, sponsors. I mean, it's pretty like, again, it's like, I don't really know why it was any kind of revelation, because, and like also too, it's like the kind of tax the rich crowd. It's like, yeah, well, like they have this like misunderstanding is people shouldn't be able to make money. Like, I don't get it. I don't get that part of it.
It's so weird because like the same, like Hasanabi and Sykuno, which are two big streamers, like, they're like in the top 10. They had like, they were under the most fire, even though like the top Twitch streamer is Critical Role, which was a D&D podcast Twitch stream. They earned something like $10 million in the last 2 years.
Whoa.
From Twitch.
That's crazy. Twitch alone.
Twitch alone. So I think it was like $10 million. Wow. But like Hasanabe making like $3 million or something like that. Sykuno about like $2.9 million or something in the last 2 years. People got like mad at them, but like the same thing happened when somebody doxed Hassan getting a house in like West Hollywood.
Why does anyone care?
Exactly. Does anyone care?
Yeah.
And so like these two things happening to him, I'm just like so over this fake outrage. Like I don't even particularly like Hassan.
Neither do I.
But like this fake outrage of like Twitch streamers making money. It's like we know they make money. Dude. We watch them for 12 hours a day.
Yeah, and it's like.
And you pay $5 a month if you want to watch their content.
And, like, let's be real. Like, going back to, like, just the world is a fucking disaster. If you're somebody who's able to make that amount of money based on, like, a fucking fake business grift,
yeah.
Good for you.
Do it.
Yeah.
Fake business.
Like, our generation literally is just going to have to fake business our way into, like, buying a house. Mm-hmm. And, like, Hassan did that. So, yes. Good
yeah.
for him.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
You got to wonder how taxed it is. I think that YouTubers, mm-hmm. Twitch, like they actually get hit really hard. Like they as do. Somebody who's yeah. like an independent contractor, you have to pay like a self-employment tax as well, which mm-hmm. is like 15%. And especially if you live in California, you just get yeah. fucking anally raped dry.
I've been watching Ludwig a lot recently. He's, I think, in like the top five streamers on Twitch right now.
Mm-hmm.
He makes like, I think like same like 3.5 million or something like that in the last 2 years. So his information came out as well. Like he was saying, like in California, he is paying like 30 something percent of what he earns from Twitch at the very least. But he's never been like to keep a secret. He's never been one to keep the secret about how much money he's making. Like he hit like 280,000 subscribers, like people who pay him monthly. Jeez. Back in March when he did his like subathon. That is what, if you multiply that times five, $1 million, basically more than $1 million.
Yeah.
1.4 million or something like that. He would have made that, but he gets probably like half of what that is. So $2.50 to every $5, because Amazon takes the other $2.50. What is that? $700,000. A fuck ton of money. But still, like paying the taxes on it, 30% on that, he really got like a third of what was listed, but he's been honest about that. And then like I'm just like, so he was talking about how like you can sort of break down basically how much people make on Twitch just by their sub count and then using like a ratio.
Yeah.
But the biggest thing is that Twitch, when they sign you as a partner, they make you sign a contract that says you won't tell them what your subscriber split is. So like the base level is like $2.50 for every $5 you get in a subscription. So if somebody subscribes, you get half of what they pay.
Okay.
The highest is probably like you get all $5. I don't know why Twitch would ever do that, but Twitch streamers,
70% of subs and bit purchases.
Yeah. So that sounds about right. So like the streamers are not allowed to tell anyone. They can't even tell like each other what their sub split is, which is like how much money they make for every $5.
I mean, I kind of get it. It's probably like not to create like internal drama or like something. Yeah.
But to me, that's just wild. But he was saying like, because of this leak, you can actually figure out what Twitch streamers like split is, which is like a pretty damning thing for Twitch. Unfortunately, like people only care about how much money people are making and not the actual like privacy and data leaks that are happening from Twitch.
Right.
So our data is probably compromised, you know, like they have all our shit. Cause I'm like subscribed to like one or two people on Twitch. But that's not the important thing. The important thing is how much money people are making. Cause that's what we're supposed to care about.
And I'm sure like all these people probably have like a Patreon too, which.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And like, look, you know,
Patreon sponsorships, those are all things that are outside merch. Those are outside of Twitch revenue.
Yeah.
You know?
So, I mean, I don't know. Yeah. Good for them.
Mm-hmm.
You should talk about your sewing machine. It's kind of sad.
Oh, it is sad.
And I just thought of something and I'll get to it.
Yeah.
Which is related. So.
My sewing machine is like really fucked up right now. It's on the ground next to me. And so I've had this problem for like over a year now. The underside of the stitch, so the bottom thread, has been like looping in a very strange way, not in like a predictable way. It's not the tension. If the tension was off, you would see a loop almost every single stitch. I'm getting like a burr. Basically, it's like a puff or like a rip or like a loop in the bottom thread every like inch and a half or so, but it's pretty irregular. So it's not every single inch and a half. It's like inch and a half, inch, three quarters, inch and a half, three quarters. It just like it skips every once in a while. So they're pretty irregular. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I've tried everything. I replaced the needle first thing, because that's usually what it is. Your needle's dull. It's not going to pick up the stitch right. Replace the needle. I've replaced it like four times since I've had this issue, because I haven't worked on too many projects, but like I usually change it every time I start a new project. I changed the tension. I adjusted the tension over and over and over again to find the right combination. I even opened up my machine to adjust the bottom tension. You're not supposed to do that with these Singer machines. They set the bottom tension as what it is, and you're supposed to leave it. They like literally paint the tension closed. Like it's a little screw, and they paint over it so you can't turn it. I had to peel off the paint, turn it. Still didn't work. So I ended up replacing the bobbin case, which is where the tension is held. Replace the bobbin case so that it's a new one, fresh tension, and it might have had a burr on it or something, so I had to replace it. A burr is just like a crack or like a scuff or anything, or like a little thorn, basically. Replace it, still doesn't work. And so like this last week, I've been having to sew like really important stuff, like couture stuff. The thing behind me, you can't really see it, is like a corset. And I've been having to sew that, so I have to sew through a layer of thick canvas as well as a layer of boning, and this shit is hard. If you want to turn my camera a little bit, maybe I'll be able to move back over. But like this is, it's not easy. So like I've been having to figure out how to do this with my machine, because it's just not working right. So I need to take it to get repairs. It's going to cost me like $120.
Well, I was going to say, and I didn't even think about this, is we can use Patreon money for that.
Really?
Yeah.
We don't have to.
Well, I mean, that's what it's there for.
That would be very sweet, but maybe. I'll think about it. I feel a little guilty doing that, you know?
Why?
It's my sewing machine, you know? Nothing's, it's not really equipment for the podcast.
You so. Make clothes, we wear. It's all right. Connected in a way.
Well, maybe we'll do that.
You have my mom's machine now, though.
So I am borrowing your mom's machine, and it is fantastic.
Yeah, it's like a
1980s, like late 80s Pfaff, PFAFF. And it's a limited edition. I didn't even notice that. Limited edition, Creative 1371. It's a great machine. I don't really like digital machines.
Are you getting spoiled, though?
I am. So, like, I've never really liked digital machines, because modern day ones, they, like, fuck up. They're easy to damage. Like, if you screw something up, if the panel doesn't work, or, like, the digital panel doesn't work anymore, you have to get it replaced. It's super expensive for absolutely no reason. Just get a regular machine that operates with metal parts. That's all you really need. And you can literally turn like a manual crank to change the stitch. That's what the machine you got me is. Mm-hmm. This machine, though, has been like a dream. It's so refreshing to be able to sew a straight stitch and not see the backside of the stitch look disgusting and ugly. Like some of the seams on this look so awful because on this corset, because I was using it, I had to sew from the inside of the garment. And the bottom side ended up being on the outside of the garment, which sucks. So it all looks pretty bad. So I had to do the rest of the seams with the new machine, and it looks great. But my parents can't find their machine. They were going to give me their machine. They can't find it. I don't really know where it is.
Well, I mean, she...
While mine is getting repaired, I can use your mom's.
Yeah, and she said, like, keep it until, like, Christmas if you want.
Yeah.
So I think she... Yeah.
And I think I showed off my fabric in the last episode that we did.
I mean, I'm sure like everybody, like, so the like, you know, Greg gives the Patreon, Brand does, Tom does. I think that it's what you should use the money
for. And I can post project pics on the Patreon.
There we go.
Yeah. Let's do that.
It's I think some content.
I know, we need something there. Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard to think of like anything unique, but I think that like, yeah, you should post the things that you make on there.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll do that.
Yeah. I think they give us money for whatever, like, you know, it's nice, like when equipment breaks or whatever, like it's nice to have the money, but everything's working the way it should, so
yeah,
you know, in the meantime,
yeah,
just do that.
Great. Yeah, but it was very sad and disheartening to, like, I flipped my machine upside down. I redid the timing Like, that was scary, to open up my machine from the bottom, see, like, all of the oiled parts and, like, the little, like, tiny, tiny little Allen screws. Mm-hmm. Like, I had to take those out. I was scared of losing them. I loosened the hook, and then I turned it back up, and I dropped the needle all the way down, and I tried to turn the hook to the right place. It was just, like, so disheartening that nothing worked. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what's going to work. Like, I don't know how they're going to fix my machine. I've told them I've tried everything. They will always, like, anytime I ever, I told my mom my machine was broken. And, like, if you've ever sewn anything and had problems with your machine, like, and, like, tried to troubleshoot it and asked for help, they will always say, oh, it's a tension issue. Mm-hmm. It's not your tension. Like, it is almost certainly not the tension.
I think, well, it's good that you tried everything, just because when you take it in, you can say you tried all these things, so.
Yeah, and I'm also going to bring, like, a sample of what it looks like when I sew on this thing. I actually threw one away, but I'll pull it back out and bring it to the guy. But yeah, it's like, they'll always say it's a tension issue, and it's almost never a tension issue. It's either the needle, like the reality is it's either the needle or you're just doing something wrong.
Yeah.
It's almost never the tension.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's my story for my, whoa, has it already been an hour?
No, it's been 30 minutes.
Oh, 30 minutes. I looked at the clock, said 4. I was like,
yeah,
we started late. Yeah.
Yeah. Tension questions are sewings. Did you try unplugging it and plugging it back in again?
That's exactly it. Like, of course I tried, like what do you mean? I'm not like, I've adjusted the tension. It is what it needs to be. You almost never need to adjust the tension unless you're working on like a really weird fabric, like a really thick fabric. Mm-hmm. You need lower tension because like you have to like sew through a lot. You don't want the fabric to be squished between every stitch, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's I hate when people do that.
Can that machine surge?
That's a good question, actually. What are the stitches on here? It can, I mean, it could probably zigzag, but I don't think it can surge. We would need like a special foot too, and it probably could zigzag the edge. Like that's like a zigzag edge.
Mm-hmm.
But it requires a double needle, I think. Yeah, I don't think so though. Good machine though. I really like it.
Greg brought up the hashtags for the video, which is like the View fashion. Oh, so like while we're on the fashion topic, we're just like, it's Ella Emhoff and
she
her new boyfriend
just can't help herself. Here it is. But to look awful.
And of course she just found equally like,
yeah,
these people are just
herself.
Like, they're like, you know what this picture looks like? Is like, you know, in the early 1900s and like, you know, 1800s, when photography became a thing, it was so expensive to get your portrait taken. It also took a long time.
Yeah.
That people typically wouldn't take pictures of their family until like one of the members was dead.
Yeah.
And they'd prop them up. And this is kind of what this looks like to me. Just like two dead people. Who have,
this
like,
is American Gothic.
Yes.
Is that the painting? The guy with the pitchfork?
Dude, that's actually really accurate. and of course, just a totally like, can you imagine how annoying that guy, I mean, it's just, dude, like, it's just like he's just non-binary probably. And like
the thing is, like, I just like, I know who they probably are as people, so I can't ever say that they look good.
No.
Like their clothes, even if they are well designed, I don't like it. You look awful because of who you are.
It's getting to a point to where it's like, yeah, like, you know, because you could, you know, when you have people have like pronouns in their bio, you're just like, you're annoying. Now it's like these people dress all the same way too. So it's like, yeah, no, I know your politics. I know you're annoying.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they just look like shit. So.
They do. It's a little bit sad. I mean, she's got such a big head too. Like, I don't know how she became a fucking model. Like,
well,
of course she's Kamala Harris's stepdaughter and she went to the inauguration dressed the house down boots. And so she got a fucking IMG thing.
What's, yeah.
Is that the one that like everybody signs to?
No.
IMG?
Well, there. No. Like, there's. Well, I mean, I guess so. I think that they're like more like a nebulous modeling agency. Like, I remember like the two that were with my ex. The two that really like sought after were Ford and
Wilhelmina.
Wilhelmina. Those are the two really sought after ones.
I've known about Wilhelmina, but and Ford as well, but like. I think she got signed to like IMG or something.
I don't know. I mean,
that hair is like she's trying to look ugly.
I just feel
I don't know what's going on. Yeah. And like the dumb, like we all remember that mirror pic she took outside.
Yeah.
When really she wasn't taking a mirror pic at all. It was somebody taking a picture of her and she was pretending to be taking a mirror pic.
Oh, do you remember that? I do remember that. Because
nobody has a full-size mirror outside.
No.
That's how you crash airplanes. The sun bounces off and you blind a pilot.
Exactly. That's what caused 9/11.
We accidentally blinded a Saudi Arabian pilot, an American Saudi Arabian, a true American. And he was like, oh, no, I can't see.
Yeah.
And he crashed.
That's what happened.
That is 9/11.
That's what happened. She's like, yeah, Ella Emhoff caused 9/11.
She was born, and immediately she puts a mirror outside.
Yes, yeah. She was born a lackluster fashionista.
She must be, what, she's like 20?
I imagine so, yeah, something like that.
So then, yeah, like it would be 2001 that she's born. She puts the mirror outside.
Oh, and the bright side too, like when we picked up your machine, we're all over the place. We got your ring. Well, mine was already resized. And we got yours. We got them both resized.
Mine's back. Yeah.
Now they're,
my hands are a little cold right now, so like it's a little loose, but resized perfectly. Feels good. I can do everything.
Yeah. So that's a win.
It's great. I love it.
Oh yeah. And then the view was in the thing. Cause like, I think we talked about it on the last one, but like,
we did. Yes.
Yeah. We were on mushrooms and watching The View, or like watching ABC Nightly News, and then just like thinking that stunt on The View where they all pretended, the two of them pretended they had COVID.
Yeah.
Like we just called it as fake. Like we just knew it was fake.
Yes.
And then sure enough, there's so much more that has come out since then.
Yes. So the showrunner, what's her name? Fucking Joy Behar takes a vacation. I think we actually mentioned that. She was like, I don't feel comfortable on camera with these girls.
Yeah.
However she says it. That was more like Wendy Williams. But like, I don't feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. And so she goes on a vacation. The other two women also leave for like 2 weeks probably. Mm-hmm. When they're back, the showrunner announces to the show like, hey, sorry, it was a big misunderstanding. We actually had two false positives.
Right. And the reason why that reeks is because
false positives with these PCR tests are nearly impossible to happen. The odds of having two are not zero, but they are pretty damn close to zero.
It's like a 99.9 percentile that this would not happen.
Yeah.
So,
and to get two, and of course it's the two sitting right next to each other on one side of the table.
Right.
They're not interspersed. And the fact that they would even think about taking a COVID test during the show rather than before, like 24 hours before.
Right.
So our theory of Kamala Harris not even being there at all.
No.
She was never there.
No.
She was never there. This is just all, it was all theater.
It was
because she didn't want to go because they don't want her to talk.
It was three different lies happening. Like number one was, the lie was to achieve three things. First of all, so she didn't have to actually come to the studio. I don't know. I think they did it in New York or something. Mm-hmm. So the interview would be brief because she's so terrible on camera.
Yeah.
And then number three was to be like, oh, well, these two women didn't get hospitalized because they had the vaccine.
It was to push that sort of. Yeah. Narrative. She came on. She was like, I know they are good, strong women and they're also vaccinated and they will be just fine. It's like, okay.
So like it was
like, I know what you're
propaganda.
Doing, Kamala.
Yeah.
Total propaganda. Just absolutely an entire like a farce is what this was. So don't believe it. Like, don't believe that they actually had false positives. They never had COVID.
And
they never tested them during the show. Why would they do that? It makes no sense.
No.
It was entirely manufactured and they want you to believe it.
Yes. Exactly. It was.
And many people will. The people who watch The View and sit in the audience of The View will believe it.
And that's the thing is, I think anybody who listens to this would have been as skeptical as we were. We were just like, this is like, I mean, I remember like turning to you, I'm like, this is all fake. None of this is real.
Mm-hmm.
None of this is real. And like, and also for the same reasons that we said why it probably wasn't real was exactly kind of like how it's coming out is like this not real stunt. And so, but like you said, many people would watch this and be like, wow, you know,
yeah,
how responsible The View was or whatever. Yeah.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
Thank goodness Kamala Harris stayed backstage.
Yeah, yeah. We have to protect our half Indian queen.
And then Joy Behar was giving like the performance of a lifetime. Like, what? What's going on?
What? Wait. Something's happening. Something's happening here. What's going on?
They stopped the show.
Like her just
so
red
ridiculous.
Hair is just bouncing around with her. She, yeah, what a fucking retarded person she is.
So anyways, that's the update. it is confirmed. It is probably, like, I would say it's 100% confirmed this was all fake.
How many, like, collective IQ points do you think The View has caused our nation to drop?
Collective?
Yeah.
Like a cumulative amount, millions, you know? Like, if all the viewers drop, all the viewers of The View drop one IQ point, yeah, that's probably millions.
I feel like, yeah, even just watching that segment made us dumber.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
It's just...
It's like that time you accidentally poured poppers into my nose and I felt my IQ drop 6 points.
That was bad.
It was really like bad. The worst feeling of my life because, like, I was like, I'm never going to get my degree.
Yeah, don't...
I was...
Yeah, don't ever
like,
do that.
I'm never getting that Nobel Peace Prize.
God, I felt so bad. That fucked your, like, that fucked your shit up for, like, a few days.
It did.
That was so bad. Oh, my God. Yeah, basically, like, I just... I basically like, gave
straight
Sean,
into my nose.
I
my
gave
brain.
Sean like brain damage and a chemical burn.
I just many people would be scared here, and I'll name them. I love Rosa. Whatever happened to Rosa? Rosa. Me or her?
Let's see. This is kind of interesting.
Oh my God! Yeah. This is a great one. What's the So this article you found last week.
Yes.
Great one. What's the title of the article?
It's that,
the headline?
The headline is...
Oh, woman nearly dies after 8-hour wedgie from high-waisted shorts.
Okay, like, which...
What?
Which the title is misleading, which is, like, but it's also just, the story's just gross, which I think is kind of funny.
Yeah. Who wears short shorts? Probably not her again. A North Carolina woman shared that she could have easily died after she contracted a bacterial infection from wearing high-waisted denim shorts for 8 hours.
Clean your pussy, bitch. I mean, goddamn.
What the fuck, dude? A video recounting her nearly fatal fashion disaster boasts more than 8 million views on TikTok. Moral of the story, tight shorts are out, wrote Sam, who goes by, I'm too old to be on this. And TikTok has apparently since set her account to private under the clip chronicling the accidental atomic wedgie, which occurred 3 years ago while she was on a date. Oh, okay. So this is like this is like she's recounting it from a while back. Speaking about the incident to BuzzFeed, the bedraggled gal, I hate that word, bedraggled. Kill me. That sounds disgusting. Recalled that she was wearing very uncomfortable clothes, which prompted her to pick at the high-riding hiney huggers, a pic of which she shared in a follow-up vid, several times during the 8-hour outing. Eventually, the gal opted to ignore it and just enjoy my time, she said. But the next day, the gal started feeling very ill and noticed that she had a large bump where the chafing had occurred. Jesus Christ. This is so gross.
Yeah.
As time went on, it started becoming more painful, the bewildered woman told BuzzFeed. The pain was isolated to one spot, and it felt like a throbbing, stabbing pain. The next day, Sam visited a doctor who gave her antibiotics for a possible skin infection in my ass crack, she said. She noted in the TikTok video. But by that point, it was already too late. The next morning, Sam fell into what she later discovered was septic shock after contracting a skin infection called cellulitis, BuzzFeed reported. The woman's mother rushed her shivering, very breathless daughter to the hospital, where, according to Sam, medical professionals considered cutting off the infected part of her derriere. Gross, dude. Thankfully, Sam was able to recover in the ICU and avoid the rump-ruining surgery. Per the TikTok clip, after 3 days of additional recuperation, the grateful gal was discharged from the hospital without any lasting effects aside from the embarrassment of constantly having to show my ass to doctors every day. Unfortunately, the cellulitis returned a month later. She needed another round of antibiotics.
Shower, bitch. Like,
what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah.
I got sepsis. What? In the wake of her mishap, TikToker's emotions were rubbed raw. I hate that. Chafing.
There's so
raw.
Many. This is like the most punny article I've like ever seen.
By Sam's life-threatening wedgie. New fear unlocked, one aghast gawker responded to her video. The price we pay trying to look good for men. Glad you're okay, girly. No, this is your L to bear.
Yeah, this is like women posting their L's.
Sophia, I mean, or whatever. Sam, this is your L. This is you, a woman posting your L online.
Like basically, yeah, you're posting that you have a dirty cunt and like literally wearing tight pants like caused your ass to explode and cause
that
sepsis.
That is so gross. I have never had anything reach this point. I don't know what Sam's actual medical diagnosis from her doctors was, but judging from her story, she likely had an anorectal abscess. Oh, God, caused by an anal fissure or anal fistula. both of which are pretty common, said Dr. Carmen Fong. Are they super common?
Well, I mean, it would be common.
From high-waisted shorts?
If she'd had a fucking baby or something. Yeah. But, like, or just she's literally, like, raw-dogging it, like, in the back door a lot. But I don't really know, like...
Yeah, there is no way high-waisted shorts will give you a fissure or a fistula. That's not happening. You had something else happening, sweetheart. Anorectal abscesses occur in about 100,000 people each year, but most of us believe this reported number is lower than the actual number. Yeah, people are embarrassed. They don't talk about their butt shit.
And they should.
Yeah, we should encourage this. Yeah, this is your L to bear, Sam. Yeah. She speculated that Sam's caboose crater... Kill me, dude. Had formed when bacteria... Is this still... Oh, no, this is New York Post.
Yeah, New York
when bacteria infiltrated a cut caused by her 8-hour wedgie. That is so gross. In turn, her tight shorts have provided a moist, dark environment where the microbes could thrive.
I don't like that word, moist.
That's no. Gross. When not treated promptly, it can become a very bad infection and make a person very sick. Although sepsis and cellulitis tend to happen more in immunocompromised people, such as those with diabetes. And contrary to what everyone's mom might tell you, picking at a wedgie can help stave off infection. Obviously, we do a lot of things for fashion, but if something's making you uncomfortable, it's your body telling you that something isn't right. I give full permission to pick that wedgie in the middle of even the most amazing date. It's for your own butt health. This isn't the first time a seemingly innocuous decision has proved potentially fatal. This past June, a California man redefined razor rash after a shaver mix-up resulted in his face getting ravaged by flesh-eating bacteria.
I don't need to expand on that. But
so, journalism is dead.
Well, yeah.
This is a lost... This country is like the lost ark. We are. I can't believe this is journalism.
Yeah.
That a woman posting her L on TikTok is the news of the week. Another thing, another TikTok that my friend actually got in some hot water for, my friend Haley, she did a TikTok with our other friend Becky. Well, Becky's sort of like an acquaintance of mine, but our other friend Becky. And Becky's from the UK. I think she's from like Bristol or something.
Okay.
They're doing like a video like Americans versus Brits or whatever. And Becky mentions Wales and like that country or whatever. And Haley's like, really? You're going to pretend that Wales is real? You're still keeping up with that? And people got mad at her.
That's it. That's all it was.
Like, it was funny. And people in the comments were actually upset. Like Welsh people were like, "This fucking cunt."
Yeah, the Welsh accent is atrocious.
Yeah, it's really gross. Yeah.
Yeah.
The language.
And really, only thing that Wales has exported is like Tom Jones, which we can all.
What's that?
What's new, pussycat? Whoa! So we could have done without that, but. Yeah, I don't know.
God.
So
the Welsh, they're funny people.
They're funny. It's really
they shouldn't exist. I still don't fully believe. I wish people would stop dying.
I know, but no one. I hope someone died. I mean, honestly, the amount of sirens, like.
Yeah, it. The only way this is worth it is if somebody died.
Yes.
So please, die. Yeah.
We can close it on this. I downloaded Letterboxd because I've been trying to I feel like literally everything that gets promoted in terms of TV shows or movies is like Ryan Murphy presents like a Nigerian immigrant story. Like that's literally all it's on TV and movies now. Ryan Murphy. And so we were on Letterboxd and I found this show called Midnight Mass.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Watched that and like, dude. I mean, I don't know if any of you have seen it, so it does kind of go back to the religion thing. So can you, like, explain the show?
Yeah, we're going to get into some mild spoilers.
Yeah, I don't recommend anyone watch it, personally. Yeah,
So the thing is, like, stylistically, I thought it was beautiful, like a really lovely-looking show.
Yeah.
But basically, the premise is, like, and it's lovely-looking, but, like, there's a lot of issues with the actual script and the everything else. It takes place on an island called Crockett Island, which is like off the coast of Canada, I guess.
It's supposed to be an American thing, but they shot
it in Canada. Oh, it's shot in Canada.
Yeah.
It takes place on this island. The island is pretty religious. Like, a lot of the people who live there are like hard Catholic. And basically, like, the inciting thing is a son of one of the families who lives on the island gets out of prison for drunk driving and killing somebody, comes back to the island, and around the same time that their priest is supposed to come back as well. The priest never shows up. The one that they're expecting doesn't show up. A new one comes to take his place. The new one is this young guy. The old one was a very old dude who's like had dementia and stuff. So the new one comes, and like when he arrives, like weird things start happening in the town. People start getting healthier. Like the people who are going to the church, they start getting healthier. They like de-age a little bit. Like a woman who has dementia starts to remember and like becomes young.
A girl who's paralyzed can walk again.
A girl who's in a wheelchair begins to walk. And so like these things start happening. Some people start disappearing from the town. There's like this implied like giant bird that is like eating people or taking them. Like cats wash up on the shore after a really big storm. Like all this crazy shit happens. So like it's basically like about this Catholic priest who brings with him the power of what he thinks is an angel to the island.
Right. So the guy who made this show is the same guy who made Haunting of Hill House, which was a good show.
Mm-hmm.
But this show suffered from the same problem that I thought that like I thought I was losing my mind watching Haunting of Hill House, because and Tom looks like he watched it.
It was really shit, he says. I love that.
Yeah, like the monologues were literally endless. Like you would feel like so every character gets this just like one shot, like where they can't, like there's no cuts, where they just deliver this like theater like monologue that seemingly goes on for hours.
Long, gratuitous, just really egregious monologues.
Right. And
like 6 minute monologues.
So by the time we were like on episode four, I started to fast forward through them because like the monologue would reach a conclusion. So what made me crazy about them is it would be like, you know, if someone asks, you know, what do you think happens when you die? And then someone would be like, you know, and then the stars and the cosmos, and then we all return to one. And you're like, okay, well, that's the end of the monologue. And then the stars explode. Like we would just keep going and going and going and going. So between that and this town apparently has never heard of a vampire in their entire life.
Dude.
Nobody acknowledges it. Like, oh, this is probably a vampire.
This is probably a vampire, not an angel.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, so it was like, so a show that was seven episodes could have been four.
Yes.
Like,
you can cut out every single monologue.
Yeah.
Maybe keep one if it's truly important and give it to a likable character.
Right.
Everybody who had a monologue, only one of them was likable. Like, we only really liked the girl, like the woman.
Yes.
The school teacher.
Yeah. She was the only likable character. Like, I literally felt nothing. Like, the lead character, the Riley character, was basically just the personification of the color brown. It was just like,
yeah, and he looks like Mark Zuckerberg, and he's really unsettling.
Yeah,
he kind of has a weird look to his eyes and eyebrows.
Everyone was like praising the pastor as like a fantastic actor, and I thought he was like whatever. And then the religious stuff,
I thought he was pretty good actually. I quite
fine,
liked his performance,
like, but it wasn't like groundbreaking. And then
no.
The religious stuff just was like really onerous and just kept like, they like the metaphors they were trying to draw were so ham-fisted and so ridiculous. So like I kind of hated it in many ways. Like I didn't regret watching it, but the thing was, it's like Haunting of Hill House was like more competent, but simultaneously it also had these like really gratuitously long monologues.
Yeah,
that were just like, it was just ugh, you know. And so yeah, so I wouldn't recommend it.
Yeah, it was just, and I'm gonna maybe give like an additional spoiler here. So again, we don't recommend you watch it. It's not fantastic. I mean, it's stylistically, I thought it looked great. If you want to look at pretty shots and things, like, cool, that's what it's for. But like, so the angel that he brings back, basically its blood has the power to reverse ailments and age and injuries. But so what happens is like he goes to Israel and or Jerusalem or whatever.
Damascus,
excuse me. And he like walks across the desert. He gets lost. He's an old man, dementia, walks across the desert, gets lost, finds a cave. And this is like episode two, I think, that they show this. But finds a cave in which he thinks he finds an angel it kills him, sucks his blood, and then feeds its blood to him, and he comes back to life a young man.
Right.
He is once again like 40.
And like watching it too, you like I just knew that was what was going on. Like yeah. I think by like the basically the end of the first episode, I'm just like, yeah, no, this is the same guy.
And so he's spiking communion with his blood.
Oh yeah.
So and that's why people who come to church start de-aging, and they actually show that he's spiking it like in the first or second episode. So, right. You know.
And it was the other funny part too is like the sheriff of the town is this Muslim guy, which is obviously at odds with like the hardcore kind of Catholic
dude
thing. But like they give him like 10 different monologues, and yeah. then like of course one of them is about like, well, they're all about being Muslim. I mean it's bizarre, like yeah. but he stands up to no one until the very end, so he just like literally is a pussy the entire series yeah. until the very end. It shows it's exhausting.
Ebert says that if it would have been a book, it would have been 1,000 pages. Yeah, well,
it's based on a Stephen King book.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, so I didn't know it probably that. Was 1,000 pages. Yeah,
dude. And I was seeing like, and I may be incorrect in this, but I thought like this was not the right medium for it, like a 7-part limited series, little too much.
Too much.
That was so much time. It was like 8 hours of our time just gone. That could have been a 2-hour movie. It could have been a 2-hour play.
Right.
Honestly, I think it would have been a great stage production. The monologues, like, cut most of them, but keep a couple because a stage production needs monologues.
They weren't heady, though. I mean, like, they were like, there's an attempt to make them heady, but they just weren't good.
No. You
know? Like, nothing was expanded upon. No.
There wasn't really any passion in any of the monologues.
No.
The Muslim guy, the town sheriff, was like, his monologue was about, like, 9/11, wasn't it?
Dude.
He's like, yeah, I enlisted in the fucking frontline forces or whatever after 9/11.
And you're just like, okay.
To prove that we're not all bad.
I audibly
and then
groaned.
They thought I was a mole. And yeah. it's like, okay.
I was just like, ugh. I don't.
Just like so on the nose.
We're going to watch that Squid Game show next, though, which I've heard good things about that.
Yeah.
From people I actually trust. But yeah, it's just so difficult to find anything to watch. Like, I'm obviously like anxious to see Dune, but but I'm really just tired of Chalamet. I don't want to see him anymore.
Yeah.
So it sucks that he's in it, but whatever, I'll survive. But I got nothing else. And then
yeah, same.
And then I got to go get Pia more food.
Oh yeah. All right.
Before
well, cool. Sounds good.
So we love you all.
It was good to see you guys. We'll be back next week.
Yeah.
I'm surprised we made it a full hour.
I am too.
And as energized as we are.
Yeah, I'm going to try a little harder too. Whatever.
We'll be back next week. See you guys.
See you, bye.